Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're here with Ramon Foster. We are at Nakama in Wexford, as we are every Tuesday. And it's been another excellent Sunday for the Steelers. You avenged the loss to the Browns. You basically shut up an entire state and, you know, city by beating them after, you know, 2 weeks of them just talking and talking and talking. But I thought, really, to be honest, one of the most interesting quotes that you made, and really it is, I wrote about it actually,
yeah.
A big difference between the Browns and the Steelers.
Yeah.
When Freddie Kitchens goes out and wears that T-shirt, it's not that he wore a T-shirt. Who cares?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. But what you talked about after the game is Coach Tomlin wouldn't do something like that because of the professionalism, yeah. Number one, and number two, just – we're focused on the right things and not trolling people and not, you know, all this other stuff. I think that that was probably the most, interesting and accurate comment that I heard after, in that whole entire post game, because I think people think when you talk about the T-shirt, they're trying to say, oh, well, you know, the T-shirt motivated you guys. It's not that.
No.
It's that it just sort of shows – there's a little bit of an immaturity up there with that team.
I guess you can kind of put it that way, simply because Coach C's a professional about it. You know, his profession is to coach us up. It's not to incite certain things that goes on outside of the game. And like I said, I can kind of get why you would do it. I mean, they were on a run. What was it, 3-4 games in a row of a win streak? I mean, he's got the whole city behind him. So I'm sure he still has the support of his players. If it works out for him, he's the greatest troll in the world. If it does what it did this past Sunday, then not so great. Then you have hashtags named after you and stuff like that, and you never want that to happen. So that is definitely one of the biggest attributes about Coach Tomlin. Is you say a whole lot of things about him, or you can assume certain things about him, but he is – a professional when it comes to his interviews, out in the public with his players. There's no really fraternizing of any kind. That's just who he is. And when you're in his position, you got to kind of be that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a big part of it. You put it really, really clear, you know. And, you know, I said this before. I said I never thought before that there would ever be a game where you beat Cleveland where it would be that satisfying. But it had to be. Given all that's transpired and everything that's happened, and you know, what's his name, Sheldon Richardson talking all that nonsense and all, all that. It had to be nice to just win that game for obviously for your season and all the other reasons, but there had to be a little bit of extra special.
Definitely for the season, simply because we're still in this race and we got to keep it that way. Getting the AFC North win was huge for us, and there, like I said, there was a whole lot that went on in a sense that. We just honestly had to sit back and take it. One, because they won, and secondly, they kind of beat us convincingly. And with that being said, you know, it was good to kind of try to top that off a little bit on a Sunday in Heinz Field. And I know they're going to be reeling next year and hoping and wishing and this and that. But to us, we move on. That's just how it goes. You know, a lot of people make a big hoopla over it. But you know, it was a little bit of satisfaction.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think? I mean, obviously you didn't turn the ball over. That was a big part of it. You ran it a little better. Yeah. That was a big part of it. Were those kind of the two biggest differences?
That and making the big splash plays. That is huge in games like that, especially when you have a whole lot going on outside of just the play, meaning you different change of quarterback, you know, still missing a starting running back and a wide receiver. And we got a lot of young wide receiver missing, you know, your starting all-pro center. You got to work your way around that in a sense of making those big plays. So with those two things you said and making the big splash plays, it was huge for us. And it was exciting. It was fun, you know, especially when we went down 10-0 to come back with big plays and to score. It was, you finally got a chance to, you know, feel hit a groove a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most important plays in that entire, actually maybe the most important play, was you're down 10-0, backed up way up. There's an offsides flag thrown, and Devlin throws it up in the air to, I think, James Washington at about the 50-yard line, and he comes down with it. That seemed to sort of get you guys going, but it changed because then I think the next play was like a reverse, like a little, you know, double reverse type thing or something, right?
Yeah, it was. It was huge for us. And hats off to James Washington. He has grown from the guy what we have seen in the springtime. We've always talked about, like, he's a guy who makes those high vertical catches. He's a guy that's just like, man, if he just finally catches on, and he's doing that right now. And him actually catching the ball still was huge for his offense because it wasn't just penalty yards. It was receiving yards, which I'm sure gave Duck a whole lot of confidence too.
Yeah, that was the thing. And once you got the thing moving, it's kind of interesting. Your first two series you came out, you were down. You weren't down yet. Your first two series you came out, you sort of just handed the ball off and punted. But once you got down 10-0, it was almost like your coaching staff said, all right, it's go time now. He makes that play. We see a little wildcat a little bit later in that drive, I think. You basically threw everything you had at him on that drive to get back in the game.
You got to kind of get a little creative in a sense as far as catching the groove. Like you said, the wildcat is good because I think it gives teams, defenses, anxiety in a sense. You know, okay, wildcat, what are we going to do? Because our guys are talented enough to be able to throw the ball too, so you just don't know what's going to happen out of that. And we executed it well, and our young running backs have been doing a solid job of getting those extra yards, and they're trying to make their way in this league as pros.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, I felt really, really pretty good about the way that Benny Snell ran the ball.
Yes,
this week. Would you agree? It looked like he's really starting to figure this out.
Yes, I will. And for the last 2 weeks, he's been on a tear in the sense of just being reliable. That's one thing you always worry about with young guys. Is, okay, can they hold the ball? Can they actually make yards? And can they hit the hole the way they should? And he's done all those things. I will say he's kind of checked a lot of boxes off. And made himself a very important part of our offense so far. You know, with us waiting to see when Connor's going to come back is going to be huge, and he's filled a void for us. Him and the rest of the guys, Jalen too.
That's the thing about it. They're all getting better.
Yeah,
and as you know, that's probably what's scary for other teams about you. Is they're all getting better.
And then you don't want to say too much because, you know, everybody's looking at us as a ragtag group of guys. And one thing that Coach Thomas has always been saying is if we run the ball well and we control the turnover game and our defense is continue to play lights out, we can do a whole lot of things. And I think people are, you know, they still kind of overlook us a little bit in a sense, but our mentality is to win games. It's not just to compete or just hang around and hope to win. You know, we're trying to dominate games, and that's a huge part of what we've been doing lately. Well, executing lately.
Yeah, that's the big thing. One of the things that Mike Tomlin said today that I thought was interesting, you know how he's got all these phrases and stuff. He said something to the effect of our guys that have been preparing behind the scenes, you know, or whatever, you know, having an opportunity to step up. And the guy he mentioned was Tevin Jones, you know, a practice squad guy. But he mentioned Kevin Spillane. Is that his name?
Rob Spillane.
I
know his name. Somebody challenged me this past week, like, do you know your new teammates? Yeah. I'm like, yes, I know them. Yeah.
Rob Spillane, who's, I guess, a special teams guy. So, I mean, they have – you've plugged in some guys, but I think what we've seen over the last 3 or 4 weeks – they're all starting to sort of figure it out a little bit.
Catch a groove. You know, with Roosevelt Nix going down on IR, Rob Spillane has been a guy that's been making tackles on special teams. But it's not a shocker in a sense. It's one of those things where he's been on practice squad for a while, and when you have a guy like him who's eager to make plays and who's been on practice squad, and you do train him. Like when Coach Danny Smith, he has his special teams periods, he's coaching guys up. He's telling guys, he's giving guys like game time assignments, and they're taking advantage of it. Same thing with Tevin. Like, he's a guy that's he's always 100 miles per hour in practice when he's given a scout team look. And when he gets his opportunity with the one offense, he takes advantage of that too. And he's gained his confidence, which is huge for him. That catch, I think, this past week won't be the last time we see him make a really good challenging catch the way he did this past week.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think it's, you know, that's really what you want from those young guys.
Yes.
Get better, make plays. I said this before, and, you know, it's not any disrespect to the players that have been here in the past.
Yeah.
But your team is, from an outsider's perspective, far more enjoyable to root for. I'm, again, without mentioning names and bringing up the past, it's kind of fun watching you guys. You're sort of the underachievers. You're sort of the team that has to fight for every inch. You're sort of the team that people count out.
Yeah.
Right?
That's 100% true. And, you know, the thing about it, nobody gets mad about it. I think it's actually kind of helped our team, like, deafen some of the stuff that comes towards us simply because we know that that's the case, but that's not who we are, and we're showing that. It is fun because you get in a game and guys think they're just going to push you over and win. It's not the case. It's been an enjoyable journey so far this season. I think we still have a whole lot left in us, too.
He's Ramon Foster. I'm Paul Zeiss. We are live at Nakama in Wexford. It's the Ramon Foster Show. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about the Cardinals and who else. Who the hell knows what else we'll talk about. We'll talk about it all. But that's next on the Ramon Foster Show on 93.7 The Fan. We're back at the Ramon Foster Show in Nakama in Wexford. Ramon, quick question for you. Settle a debate for this is going. It's becoming like a blood debate on Twitter here.
Oh wow!
Okay? I contend that in the NFL, the system for the playoffs is fine. Your four division winners are your top four seeds, and the two wild cards are your second seeds. My contention is, if you're going to have divisions, there has to be some reward for winning them. And the reward is a home game.
Yes.
Okay?
Very much so.
Or a bye for the top two.
Yeah.
Now, there's this whole contingent of people that are all bent out of shape because Dallas is, what, 6-7
six
or whatever
six
they are?
Whatever.
You know what I'm saying?
6-7,
and somebody like San Francisco or Seattle is going to have to play on the road because those two teams are both, what, like 10-2? So only one of them can win the division.
Yes.
Okay? My second part of that is, it's all cyclical. There was a few years ago when Seattle was 7-9 and won their division, and they got a home game. So where do you stand on this debate?
I think if you win your division, you play a home game. It sucks that if you play in a better conference and you got beat up by a team that has a higher win record than you and wins your division, that's just bad luck. You should have beat them twice is how I look at it. I think it's fine the way it is. The NFC East?
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Right.
So be it. There's only one team that's going to the playoffs in that, so you just got to deal with it anyway. I mean, people are going to want to see their divisional winners in a home game. Point blank, period.
Right.
I don't think you should push somebody out because you have a better record than me, even if you beat me. But guess what? I dominated my division.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
It's the same thing. I make the same argument all the time in college football or in baseball or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're going to have divisions or you're going to have conferences, there has to be some incentive to win them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, get rid of the conferences.
The rules
and
are the rules.
Right.
You can't flex them one year because one division is not as good. Maybe their division is just that more balanced across the board. So, and case in point is, I mean, if they are bad, they lose the first round anyway. So what?
Right.
That's how I look at it.
But this really 100% is either
they really
were
going at you
San Francisco
that.
Or Seattle fans basically complaining. But like I said, I think if you went over a 15-year period in every division except for where the Patriots are, for the most part, there would be, you know, there's times when the winner was 12-4 and there's times when the winner was 9-7 or whatever. I mean, every division goes through ups and downs.
So it's San Fran fans who are doing it. I mean, they're high on life right now. I mean, they have a lot of good things going for them, so of course they want a home game. They weren't saying that years ago, you know, when Seattle was running it up. I mean, it is what it is. If you're that good, you win anywhere. That's how I look at it when the time comes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the whole thing is, to me, You know, and I always say this too, come NCAA tournament time, you know, my favorite part of the NCAA tournament, well, one of my favorite parts of the NCAA tournament, you know, the Sunday when they announce the brackets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Then they talk to the committee chairman. And then, of course, they talk to John Calipari from Kentucky.
Yes.
And he's all bent out of shape because he's a three seed.
He gotta
and he's
go got to
play
Washington.
This one. And he's got to go here and this and that and everything. And, you know, this guy's upset because, hey, you know, we had a better RPI. And we're a five seed and they're a four seed. And, you know, all that stuff. Right? And this is what I say about all of it.
Yeah.
You got to win four games to get to the Final Four and six to win it all.
Yeah.
So go play him and win him if you're that good.
And the thing is, the people that are complaining about it probably aren't going to be the people that's going to go to the game anyway. I mean, let's just be real about that anyway. I mean, that's just more money out of your pocket that you got to spend. Maybe you do want to do that, but case in point, watch it at home. Tailgate at home. Enjoy it there. I mean, it would also suck if you won, got a divisional game at home, and you lost.
Yeah.
So which heartbreak do you want? Not going and spending all your money for an L or sitting at home and watching them get a win?
Yeah, that's the big thing. And, you know, so I just have to kind of laugh about the whole thing.
But you know what's crazy? People don't want us agreeing on the radio like this. I'm right. Sure. Like, they want us to go back
they
and forth.
They wanted us to argue about this. Yeah.
We make sense.
Exactly. It's the thing about it is it's a simple discussion if you ask me.
To me it is. I looked at the Cowboys record and I was like, oh, 6-6? Okay, well, cool. Good for them.
Yeah.
They beat the right amount of people.
And that's, I mean, but they beat the right people.
Yeah.
And their division happens to stink. But you look at it and you say, 3 years from now, it'll probably be a better division.
Yeah.
And you know what? The Seattle division may be down.
And that was the year they were 7-9, wherever they were. They went and played, I think, the Panthers. Is that the year the Panthers made their run? I feel like it was.
What year? Oh.
When they went 7-9 and 9-7, whenever it was, I feel like they went and played the Panthers and lost the next.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like
they,
that.
The 7-9 year. Yeah,
That.
But the point is, the Seahawks got, you know, they benefited from that a few years ago, and so my thing is you just have to win three games.
Yeah.
And a great example. I mean, there's a number of different. It's happened a few times. But when the Steelers won the Super Bowl against the Seahawks,
yep.
Right? They went on the road, played Cincinnati, went on the road, played Denver. Actually, I'm sorry. They went on the road, played Indianapolis, went on the road and played Cincinnati, went on the road. No, I have it wrong. They went on the road and beat Cincinnati. Then they went and beat Indianapolis. Then they went and beat Denver all on the road.
Yes, that's the year. No, that wasn't the year Ryan Clark almost died. No.
No,
that
no,
was
no.
before
this
his
was,
time.
This
yeah,
was,
yeah,
yeah. This
okay,
was,
let's just get the bus to Detroit.
Ben,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
Ben
yeah.
was a rookie year, second year guy, yes. Whatever he was.
Look at us two historians here, man.
Yes, yes.
Jeez.
But my point is, they went on the road. They went on the road three times,
and they won.
And frankly, here's the other part of it, and this is why I don't buy all this stuff about you know, oh well, you know, you got to reseed and do all this other stuff.
No.
The Steelers had a bunch of injuries that year.
Yeah.
Okay. So they had a stretch early in the season where, in the middle of the season, where they just weren't healthy and they lost some games.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't win their division.
Yeah.
But they won their last, like, five games of the year to get to the playoffs. Everybody knew going into the playoffs, this is a team you don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
So it's not about where you play, who you play. It's are you playing well at the end of the season, and are you a good enough team to win games?
Because if you're good enough, location does not matter. I know everybody always says, well, if you're going to this place, you got to watch this or the crowd and. But, I mean, teams win and lose on the road all the time. So, to me, I don't think it matters too much. At that point, everybody's just happy to be in the race. And if you're in the race, I don't think it matters. Only people it matters to is maybe upper management in the sense of getting to host a game. You know, that's the biggest clout that you get from that is we host a home game.
Right.
But what if, my thing is, again, what if you lose?
Right. It's happened around here a few times.
It has happened here. That's
a couple
the reason
weeks
to say.
Ago. A couple years ago against Jacksonville.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah,
that
you got to be good enough.
The thing about it is, in order to win in the playoffs, you've got to be a good enough team to do it, and you got to be hot at the right time. There's so many factors.
Yeah, I'll tell you, a playoff we don't have to worry about this year is the NCAA one. That one's kind of got defined by the Alabama loss.
Yeah, I would think so, right? I mean, although You got LSU. So you got, you're probably, let's say LSU beats Georgia. There's no way you can take Georgia over Oklahoma or Utah, right? No. I mean, if one of those teams finishes one loss and wins their championship.
Absolutely not. I mean, a Power Five school. No, absolutely not.
As an aside, have you caught any of Dabo Swinney's act those last 3 weeks now?
No, I haven't. His act?
His act has been, you know, nobody gives us any respect. Everybody, nobody wants us in the playoffs. Nobody thinks we're good. You know, that's been it. So this week they beat South Carolina,
yeah.
Who beat Georgia?
Yeah.
Right? And his stick was, they want to throw us out. You know, even though we beat this team, this is the same team they beat Georgia. They've been trying to put Georgia in. This, yeah. That, I'm like, that's a good coach.
Yeah.
He knows how to pull. He knows how to pull the strings of his team.
He's creating his narrative already.
We are live at Nakama in Wexford. It's the Ramon Foster Show. You can join us for the latest edition of Zach Banner Show with Zach and friends, along with me at Chupka's Cafe on the South Side Thursday nights at 7. Grab $13 Miller Lite buckets and hang out with Zach and friends Thursday night, 7 p.m. at Chupka's Cafe 2. It's funny, whenever I'm doing his show and I read that about this show, he stops me and says, "You're not allowed to advertise Ramon's show on my show."
That's because Zach wants to beat me so bad.
Oh, I know.
Relax, Zach. Your time is coming. Just be cool. He don't know how to be cool yet, so that's why we continue to, like, just mess with him a little bit.
You know, one thing I've noticed, and maybe it's just, I don't know, anecdotally, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like you guys use that package a little less than you were before. Is there a reason? Are you doing different things? Or
I guess it's just the Florida of the game, in a sense, so and situations more than anything. In the last couple of games, the Cincy game really wasn't a huge need for it. And now I feel like we up front, the five guys up front, is kind of catching our groove a little bit too. So you don't want to have nine guys in a box, because when Zach comes in, I don't know what the analytics say, but I'm sure we're probably very run heavy, you know. So they stack the box big time.
Would you guys just throw it to him once? He's like this little kid. Whenever the few times he runs, you know, he goes out in a pattern. He's like this little kid. Like, he puts his head down and comes back. Like, come on, you got to throw it to me.
Paul, I really don't think you understand what would have happened if we gave Zach the ball. I'm talking about just full-fledged. We're in the social media era, okay?
Right.
And a guy like him would be posting that picture, that catch. He would be having a full-fledged, like, catching, like, camp for kids if we allow him to catch a ball. Even if he was wide open, I feel like the quarterback would throw it at his feet. Just simply because Zach would run this until he couldn't run anymore.
Yeah. You guys are going out west now, play Arizona. You know, they're an interesting team. They've got a rookie quarterback. And
yes.
They've got some,
very athletic,
they've
too.
Got some, yeah, they've got some interesting talent, but just not quite enough of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what? I don't know. I guess it's probably early in the week. You haven't looked at a lot of film of them yet, have you?
I know for sure they have Chandler Jones. You know, him and himself, he's a game changer. And we're going to make sure we have to make sure we take care of him more than anything. And that offense is very dynamic simply because of the quarterback. So we have to be on our job, and we got to be able to control the ball on offense too. It is an away game, but I've played there before, and Arizona has been like Pittsburgh Southwest. You know, so it'll be interesting to see if our fans come out big time there. And it'll be good to get a win out there. You know, that's always our goal for sure, is get the road wins too. And my old O-line coach is there too. Well, our former O-line coach, he was here, Coach Kugler. So it'd be good to see him.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've got for a while there was like a whole Pittsburgh connection
out
there.
Yes, it
was. It
was huge when Bruce Arians was out there. It was really huge.
Right. Do you like playing out there? It's going to be warmer, a little warmer weather, I think, probably, you know?
I don't mind it too much. I like the road games a little bit, simply because when you win in a place like that, you kind of shut them out a little bit. It's good to come back and have a victory Monday and stuff like that. And plus, this is considered a West Coast trip, too. I really want to beat the stigma saying, you guys can't win on the West Coast. So I'm one of those guys that play those mind games with myself a little bit.
Well, you guys – I think the big thing about it is when you really look at Arizona, they've been a team that has been – they've hung in a lot of games. They just haven't won a lot of them. So,
yeah. You know. It's probably because you have teams like San Fran who's been really good and Seattle. I mean, they have been really good this year. So, it's a new rookie quarterback, new head coach. They got a lot of new stuff going on, and they're figuring themselves out too.
One of your games the next week, I think, or the 2 weeks later after you play the play Arizona, your Bills game is now going to be a night game. Are you excited about that? Do you like that, or would you rather?
I love night games, okay? I really, really do. But at the later part of the season, I'd rather have that 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because it's like you wait around all day long. And I'm going to be honest, the first time I saw that, of course, everybody sends in the group chat, and everybody's like, golly, because you'd rather just play, win, get home, you know. And with this, we got the anxiety, anticipation of playing all day. But I'll be honest with you, playing those night games in Heinz Field, I'm not sure if we're going to wear Color Rush or the block letter jerseys, but that crowd goes insane. This will be a really good game. But, Kate, first thing first is Arizona.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to talk about Buffalo, the game. It was kind of interesting. They flexed you out. And watching the way that the Bills play on Thanksgiving Day and things of the such, you know what? They deserve to be on a night game. And, you know, I mean, they're one of the better teams.
They are. They've turned it around. We actually knew somebody that was there. LT Walton was there. And I asked him, like, how was it in Buffalo? He's like, you know what? It was really kind of cool playing there. He's like, the facilities are better than you think. He's like, they're really good because they just got new upgrades there. But it's a good place to be, and it's showing that. And they got a new young quarterback who's played well on the run game and their defense. I'm sure the big story is going to be the amount of brothers that's going to be playing against each other in that game.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Well, Ramon, I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little college football.
Got to talk a little bit.
This weekend, you've got all of the championship games.
Yeah.
I know you're obviously really into your Steelers season and all that other stuff, but will you take some time to watch them?
I will. This weekend is huge. I kind of wish it was a home game. Therefore, you can be relaxed a little bit and watch the game. But, yeah, I'll be checking into the SEC championship for sure. The ACC, because the thing is, it's like you said, Dabo said all he had to say. But can he still win the championship too? I mean, I feel like there's going to be some heartbreak somewhere during this this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, you know, there always seems to be. And, you know, we'll look at it real quick. I'll tell you. I'm going to throw some out there, and you tell me what you think. Ready?
Yeah.
Let's go with the one that you care about the most. LSU, Georgia.
I got LSU. LSU's quarterback, man, is
– he's really good.
Yeah, he's
doing
it.
Joe Burrow. Yeah. He's really good.
Very classy move by him by doing the old part in his name the way he did. Super cool.
Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Why not? Georgia wins on a field goal at the end of the game.
Ooh.
LSU's now only got one loss.
Number four. At the lowest number four.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got two SECs then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go with your Clemson Tigers. They play Virginia.
Virginia looked really good this past weekend, but I think they had to get that monkey off their back. I think there's a little bit of letdown.
No.
Simply because they gave so much to Tech, which was an awesome game.
Yeah. I think Clemson wins that one. Ohio State, Wisconsin. I think, you know, the problem is Wisconsin's the kind of team that has to be able to get a lead and run and play the game the way they
want
to
slow it down. Yes.
You know? I don't know. I like Ohio State.
I like the quarterback at Ohio State more. Ohio State across the board. I can give you a million reasons.
Yeah. And two other ones real quick, Utah, Oregon. I mean, Oregon and – I mean, Utah is a team that if they win, they're 12-1, and, you know, they would be in the mix. I mean,
go throwing that out there.
I'm just saying.
I know.
Pac-12, I mean, but it I think – to be honest, I think Oregon will win the
I
game.
I do, too. That might be the upset, though.
Right.
If there was one on this weekend, I could see Utah.
Well, I mean, Baylor at Oklahoma. You know, Baylor, if you remember, they played about 3 weeks ago.
And it was.
Baylor was killing them, and they came back. I agree with you, though. I think between Ohio State, Wisconsin, Virginia, Clemson.
Yeah.
What's the other one we just talked about?
LSU,
Georgia, and Utah, Oregon, some, or, and even Baylor. One of those five games, if not two, there will be the wrong team will win.
I'm all the way with you. I think the Baylor Oklahoma could be very, very interesting. Georgia could win because simply it is in Georgia at the Georgia Dome. The Mercedes-Benz now.
Right.
That could be an advantage for a college team. That's huge.
Let me ask you a question here real quickly.
Yeah.
One team that's ranked and is always really good is Appalachian State. And
I admire them.
Have you ever been to that camp? It's close to Tennessee.
I didn't know about anything about them until they beat Michigan.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Where is that, Bristol?
Bristol.
It's up that way, you know what I mean? My daughter was recruited by them, and so we went down on a recruiting trip, and it just so happened they were playing a football game that weekend.
Insane.
What an unbelievable campus.
That's awesome to hear.
But they're good every year, aren't they?
They are. They got players in the league, too. I mean, they're not a surprise anymore.
Yeah. Well, he's Ramon Foster, and you just got his picks there.
Who does Memphis have? I just want to –
Cincinnati.
I want to piss D'Angelo Williams off a little bit. I'm going with Cincinnati.
Right. Okay, good. Cincinnati. I know Memphis is going to lose their coach after this weekend, to Florida State.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, this is – that's something that you can file in the back of your minds. Here's a team that probably knows they're probably losing their coach. Sometimes that's tough to play that way,
That's true.
Hey, why not? Hawaii versus Boise State in the Mountain West game.
Jeez. Hawaii's done well this year, too. I know that because our – assistant O-line coach is he played at Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I was a coach, I think I'd schedule Hawaii every year just to get the trip out.
Absolutely. And pay him.
He's Ramon Foster. You can hear him every Tuesday. Ramon, good luck this week in Arizona. We'll
we got cheers.
Be watching you again. Got a fan club here and everything else.